word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We ask that you be gracious to us. 2,000 years ago, how you being so gracious and merciful to your servant Saul and changed his life and changed his lane to become poor. And I pray that in today's days, you do the same to those who speak on your behalf every Sunday, and to those who hear your precious word, how you open his eyes. I pray that you do the same to us, open our eyes. How you give him the spirit of revelation and wisdom, I pray that you do the same to us. Help us not only to understand your will, your word, and have a high regard for your work too. And help us not just be the hearer of your word, but to be a doer, so that we be truly blessed in all our days. Hear my prayer, O Lord. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The title of my sermon is recorded in Romans chapter 10, verse 16. Lord, who has believed our message? Sometimes, you know, you think when the servant of God, like Paul, give his own kinsman, his own brother, the good news. And even though he poured his heart, he said in chapter 10, verse 1, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. Even though he prayed like that, he has a strong desire for his kinsmen to be saved by God. And yet, we find out only those who believe his message. That's the message of Christ will be saved. Not everyone will be saved. He mentioned it in Romans chapter 1. He said that, would you please turn to chapter 1? Verse 16, Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. First for the Jews, and then for the Gentiles. Wherever he preached, wherever the city he go, he always go to the synagogue first. He preached to the Jews first. Every time he mentioned that Jesus is the Messiah, Jesus is the Christ, Jesus is the Lord, when he mentioned that, every time he get kicked out. And yet he keep on preaching. He not only keep on preaching, while he enter into each city that he travel, and he also write it down. And now he say he's not ashamed of the gospel. I sometimes find out that if people don't like to hear what you have to say, it doesn't matter how good the news is, eventually the messenger changed the message. But Paul never changed the message. He keep on proclaiming Jesus is the Lord. The moment he proclaimed that, he was stoned. He was kicked out. He was persecuted. And yet, he keep on doing it. And he is a good and faithful servant of the Lord. Brother and sister, when you preach something and people say to you, don't preach that, I think that you have to examine yourself whether you preach the truth or you're not preaching the truth. If you are preaching the truth, then you go on doing it. But if you think that he is right and you are wrong, then you better change it. Okay? Now, Isaiah say that, chapter 10, verse 16. Lord, who has believed our message? Isaiah not only mentioned that in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1. Would you please turn to it? Chapter 53, verse 1. Listen to me. Chapter 53, verse 1. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Anyone who believes the message of Christ, Jesus Christ will reveal his strength, his arm, to that particular person who believes. As a matter of fact, Isaiah, this is not the first time Isaiah said that. If you go back to Isaiah chapter 6, the Lord, before the Lord called him, in chapter 6 of the book of Isaiah, the Lord revealed it to him. Chapter 6, verse 8, then I heard the voice of the Lord say, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, here I am, send me. He said, go and tell these people, be ever hearing, but never understanding. Be ever seeing, but never perceiving. Make the heart of these people callous. Make their ear dull and close their eyes. Otherwise, they may see with their eyes, hear with their ear, understand with their heart, and turn and be healed. He didn't understand that. Why it is like that? Then I said, how long, O Lord? And the Lord answered, until the city lie ruined and without inhabitants, until the houses are left deserted and the field ruined and ravaged, until the Lord has sent everyone far away and the land is utterly forsaken, and though a tent remain in the land, it will again be laid waste. But as the terebinth and oak leaf stump, when they are cut down, so the holy seed will be the stump in the land. What the Lord trying to say is, who has believed our message? A lot of people, even though it is a good news, many of the God's people, even though it's good news, they don't believe in it because they love to believe in themselves. When you believe in yourself, then God allows suffering come to our life, either your physical health, or you lose your wealth, or you lose your children, or eventually you lose your life. God allowed this kind of thing happen with one purpose in mind, is to change our life. And I think Paul fully understands God's will. That's why he say in Romans chapter 5, what did he say? Chapter 5, verse 2. Through whom we have gained, through Jesus Christ our Lord, we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our suffering. How come Paul say that we rejoice in our suffering? Because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. That means your life will be changed in the suffering. When your life is changed, character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us. Because God has poured out his love into our heart by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. The reason why God allows suffering happen to his children, because God wants his children's life to be changed. To be changed in conformity to our Lord Jesus Christ. Would you please go back to Romans chapter 9? Romans chapter 8. Verse 28, all the way to 30. And we know that in all things, including the suffering things that God allowed in our life, we know that in all things God worked for the good of those who love him, who has been called according to his purpose. What is God's purpose? When he saved our life, he wants our life to be like his son Jesus Christ. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Though he justified, he also glorified. God sent his son to come down from heaven, not only to die for our life, for our sins, but to lay down the example for us to follow what love is all about. And when we are willing to live a life in conformity with our Lord Jesus Christ, eventually we will be glorified. We not only justified, we will be glorified. Unfortunately, the Jewish people do not understand. And even though when Paul preached the message, and that is the message of Christ, I want you to circle that, verse 17. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. What is that word of Christ? Right beside 10:17, the word of Christ is the word of faith. You write that down. The word of Christ is equivalent to 10:8. That is the word of faith. I read that to you. What does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. Word of Christ is the word of faith. In other words, when the messenger proclaimed the word, I write that down, the word of faith, 10:8, is the word of Christ, 10:17. Whatever the word you proclaim, make sure the one who hear put their faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a mystery. Why? In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, Jesus is the Christ. That is a mystery. That's the mystery of God. And people don't understand that. And then Paul exercised what he received from Jesus Christ, because Jesus revealed his will to Paul. I want you to turn back to Galatians chapter 1. The message that Paul proclaimed is not from man. It's not man-made story. He didn't make it up, okay? A lot of people tell story. It's not a true story. I want you to go to Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. I want you to know, brother, that the gospel I preach is not something that men make up. In other words, according to Paul's writing, in 1st and 2nd Corinthians, a lot of preachers, they preach the word, is that they make it up. It's not from God. It's not from Jesus Christ. He make it up. He make it up so that people accept it. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received the message. I received the gospel by revelation directly from Jesus Christ. Second, in verse 15, but when God, who set me apart from birth, called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me, so that I may preach him among the Gentiles. I may preach Christ among the Gentiles. I recap what I just said. The gospel, the good news that Paul preached, is revealed by Jesus Christ himself, and revealed by God alone. Wow. When he said that, he meant what he said. Not only in here. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians, chapter 14, verse 36. Did not the word of God originate with you? Or are you the only people it has reached? If anybody thinks he is a prophet or spiritually gifted, let him acknowledge that what I am writing to you is the Lord's command. If he ignores this, don't think that I am preaching is from the Lord's command, he himself will be ignored. This is his own witness for the message that he's preaching. Then people say, wow, of course you say that you're preaching God's word. Let's hear what Peter said. 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 14. So then, dear friend, since you are looking forward to this and make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him, that means your life, make sure that your life is changed. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also write you with the wisdom that God gave him. Peter confirmed his writing is not man make up story. It's God giving him the wisdom. I think any Christian who read Deuteronomy, the message of what Moses say the word, who will go up to the heaven and bring down the word so that we can hear and obey? Who can go to the sea and bring the word of God up so that we can hear and obey? And lo and behold, when Paul explained this message, he said that word is the word of faith. That word is the word of Christ. Because Christ, Jesus Christ revealed to me, that word talk about Jesus Christ. Who sent Christ down to die for our sin? And then right after he died, who raised him up to prove that he's the Son of God? It's God. God set him down, and God raised him up. Wow! You know, this pastor spent so much time in reading the Old Testament, and then interpreted, and then get revelation from Jesus Christ, get revelation from God the Father, and write the New Testament. That New Testament is originated from the Old Testament. And then, Peter, you know what? In Galatians chapter 2, Peter was rebuked by Paul. He did not say Paul is no good. Sometimes, you know, teeth for teeth, eye for eye, you say that I'm no good like that. But by the time I have the opportunity to write the Bible, you say you're no good too, right? But Peter didn't say that. Peter said that God gave Paul the wisdom. When you read his writing, if you spend time and study it, study it and meditate on it, you know that God indeed gave him the wisdom that he gave to no one else. On top of that, when John has the opportunity to write the Gospel of John, at the very, very beginning, at the very onset, he says, the Word is Jesus Christ. The Word is God. And the Word in 14, chapter 1, verse 14, the Word become flesh. That's why I love to read the Bible. And whatever Paul said, I check it out. You see another preacher like John, did he say the same thing? And then I check Peter, did he say the same thing? Peter not only said the same thing, that God gave him the wisdom. Peter also made another revelation. He said not only Paul writing is the Lord's command. He said that in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 2, all the apostles who write their New Testament are the Lord's command. Although Paul said that, my writing is the Lord's command, because he's the first one who write that. Okay? He's the first one who write that. And all other people read his writing. And then, when they fully understand the message that Paul talked about, the word of faith is the word of Christ. When you hear God's word and you do not put your faith in Christ, you haven't heard the message yet. When you hear the word of faith and the word of Christ, you put your faith in Jesus Christ, your life will be changed and you'll be truly blessed. Brother and sister, in chapter 1, he says, salvation come to the one who believes. In chapter 10, righteousness come to the one who believes. Righteousness that is by faith, not righteousness that is by the law. So, that you need to hide God's word within your heart and then meditate on it to see whether what he said is trustworthy. But Isaiah say the same thing. Lord, who has believed our message? That means in verse 16, chapter 10, but not all the Israelites, not all the Israelites accept the good news. Can anyone tell me how come not all the Israelites accept good news? What's the reason? Have they not heard? Paul in here asked four questions. I want you to circle that. Verse 18, question number one, you write that down. But I ask, did the Israelites not hear? They don't believe because they don't hear? That's the question, first question Paul asked. Second question, verse 19. Again, I ask, does Israel not understand? You know, if you don't understand, you cannot believe in something you don't understand. The third question, chapter 11, verse 1. I ask then, did God reject his people? The last question, chapter 11, verse 11. Again, I ask, did they stumble so as to fall beyond recovery? This guy, he is so skillful in his word, in his study of the word of God. And Paul is the one. He will not serve before obscure men, and he will serve before king. Just like the book of Proverbs, chapter 22, turn to it. Brother and sister, make sure that when you go to work, make sure you know your material so that you can do it well. Do you see a man skilled in his work? He will serve before king. He will not serve before obscure man. If you are wishy-washy in your own work, you will be laid off. You have to know your material and to be skillful. When Paul writes something, he says, this is the Lord's command. And that person, study and study hard. He knows what he's talking about. When he asks this question, he knows the gospel. A lot of people just hear and don't care less. I want you to write that down. When he asks this question, why would he ask this kind of question? Because he himself suffered so much. I want you to write that down. Proverbs chapter 29. Chapter 29, verse 18 and 19. I want you to write that down in Romans chapter 10. Where there is no revelation, where there is no vision, revelation, you write that down, Galatians chapter 1. Revelation from Jesus Christ. Revelation from God. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. They believe in what they like to believe. They do things they like to do. They don't know what the Lord requires him to do. But blessed is he who keeps the law. When you have revelation, then you understand the word of faith, you understand the word of Christ, and then you keep it. You keep on proclaiming, and you walk in step with it, then you'll be truly blessed. Verse 19, a servant cannot be corrected by mere word. Though he understands, he will not respond. Do you know when did Paul respond? You write that down. Paul responds in Acts chapter 9. Because God disciplined him. Then he responded. Now go back. Answer this question. Question number one. Paul said, but I ask, did they not hear? Brother and sister, if the Israelite has never heard the message of faith or message of Christ, then God cannot hold them accountable for not hearing them. Because hearing the message, faith comes from hearing the message, right? The word. I say that one more time. Faith, verse 17. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. If they have never heard the message of Christ, of course they cannot believe in Jesus Christ, right? If they have never heard of it, right? Of course they have heard that. Isaiah is Old Testament. They have heard that, right? Isaiah did not preach about righteousness that's by the law. Isaiah preached about the righteousness that's by Jesus Christ, by faith. Put your faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Have they not heard? Of course they have heard that. You can't give an excuse to God, oh, I never heard of that. As a matter of fact, Paul not only say that, the Israelite has heard that because it was written in the book of Isaiah. Chapter 53, verse 1. And yet, Paul did not quote that. He quote Psalm. He quote Psalm 19, verse 4. Of course they have heard the message of Christ. Don't ever tell me they have never heard the message of Christ. The Bible says their voice has gone into all the earth. Their word has gone into the end of the world. When I was in the LaGuardia airport in New York, I see the Jewish people, you know, with hair curling like that. And then I talk to him about the Bible. When I talk about Jesus Christ, he just walk away thinking that I'm a dead dog. Have they not heard? They heard. They just don't believe in you. Okay? Brother and sister, make sure you don't say you have never heard. You heard of that. But you don't pay attention. Right beside the heard, okay? You hear the message. You write down Proverbs chapter 29, 18 and 19. You hear the message, you don't respond to the message, that means you ask God to discipline you. That means, discipline me. I will not respond. All servant of God, including you and me, we don't respond to God's word. When God says something to you, you don't respond. He knows that you won't respond. Even though you understand you will not respond. But that by the time when he disciplines you, then you respond. You write that down. Acts chapter 9. Paul responds. And then you write down, Acts chapter 9 is in conformity with the teaching of Isaiah chapter 6. When you lose your house, lose your land, lose everything, then we respond. Everybody say? He's not preaching something that contrary to the Old Testament teaching. He's teaching something in conformity with the Old Testament teaching. And then he say in Romans chapter 5, suffering produce what? Perseverance. Perseverance produce what? Character. Character, that means your life changed. Character produce what? Hope. Hope will not disappoint us. You'll be glorified. Because in reality, if you talk about, chapter 5 talk about negative way. Chapter 8 talk about positive way. Chapter 8, 29 to 30. Chapter 8, 29 to 30. God's will is for each and every one of us to live a life in conformity with Jesus Christ. If you don't respond, he will deal with you. Okay? He will deal with you. And the Bible clearly stated in Proverbs chapter 29, 18 to 19, blessed are those who keep the law. When you hear the word of Christ, when you see, when you have the revelation, when you have the vision, you respond to it. You don't do your own thing. You follow Jesus. There's no discipline, but blessing. Blessing throughout your life. Brother and sister, I'm telling you the good news. Respond to it. Don't just hear and deceive yourself, but to do something about that. But first of all, you have to hear what he has to say to you. Have they not heard? Oh, they have heard. Psalm 19 says, the whole world have heard. Even me have heard that. You ask your friend. Have you heard about Jesus Christ? Even though the rock singer, they heard that. Have you ever heard the song? Jesus Christ, superstar. God allow it happen. Superstar. You know what's that superstar? The bright morning star of Revelation chapter 22. He's the superstar, right? When he come back, the whole world brighten up. Jesus Christ said, I am the light of the world. He who follow me will not walk in darkness, but to have the light of lights. He is the superstar. You never heard of Jesus Christ? Even the Gentile has heard about Jesus Christ. Because David, when he writes Psalm 19, he said the whole world has heard about the word of God. Either through his creation, or here, or through the message of Christ. How can people say, I don't know what it is? It's Christmas. Christmas is the born of the Messiah, right? You never heard of that? Did anyone not knowing What's that, Easter? Is it Easter cake? Come on. It's just perversion, right? Easter is not talking about Easter cake. It's talking about the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ 3 days after his supper. On Friday, and he was resurrected on Sunday. Don't tell me that you never heard. Have they not heard? They don't believe? No, they have heard. But just that, I don't respond. I got too much thing to do, man. I'm busy, man. Don't give me that kind of stuff, okay? I need to make sure that I get a job. If they know that, your job is from Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I create the heaven and the earth and everything in it. Second question he asked was 19. Again, I ask, did Israel not understand? Did they not know Jesus is the Christ? They know Jesus is the Christ, but they don't respond. Do they not know Jesus is the Lord? Go back. Chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. I read that to you. Chapter 10, verse 9. What's the word of faith that the apostle proclaimed? The word of faith is, if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Christ, Jesus is God. When you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, is Christ, is God, that means, you write down, right beside Jesus is Lord, you write down, First Corinthians 12:3. If your mouth can confess Jesus is Lord, it's not because of your wisdom. It's not because of your understanding. Because the Holy Spirit moved you to do that. Without the Holy Spirit helping you, you cannot do that. Therefore, I tell you, Paul said, no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God say Jesus is cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except that person is moved by the Holy Spirit. But I know that too. A lot of people say, oh, because Moses left. Because Moses believed in that, because Moses is a big brother, you know. He can beat you up if you don't listen to him. Say, oh, because Moses believed Jesus is Lord. Then Daniel say, I'm a skinny guy. I believe too, you know. But Moses believed because he was moved by the Holy Spirit, and you believe because you're afraid that he beat you up. Then your belief cannot be saved. How can I be moved by the Holy Spirit? Do me a favor, could you write beside the Spirit? Except by the Spirit, you write that down. The Word. Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 63. Jesus said, the Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The very word that I speak to you, they are Spirit and they are life. In other words, when you hear the message of Christ, when you hear the message of faith, the word of faith, the word of Christ, you are moved by that word. You see that God loves you so much, you got to respond to him. You respond to his word. Then I tell you, by proclaiming, confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, then you are saved. Because you are moved by what you hear. You not stiff-necked, you not harden your heart. Okay? I go on to read that, chapter 10, verse 9. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, that means you're moved by the Holy Spirit. You allow the Holy Spirit to guide you. You say what the Holy Spirit wants you to say. You're moved by his word. You know that God loves you. And you want to proclaim that Jesus is Lord. And then if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The moment you find out that Jesus Christ died on the cross is for your sin, of course you claim that he's my Lord because he saved my life. I don't know whether you remember 9/11. And there's a lady was rescued by a fireman because everybody say, go down, don't go up now because it's collapsing. And that fireman keep on because heard the message from a lady crying for help. That fireman run up. The fireman know nothing about that lady. Run up to rescue her life. And then go on to rescue another person's life. And when that lady being rescued, and then in the news, she said, I would like to know who is this fireman. And later on, these two persons met together and thanked to that fireman, risking his own life to save her life. If you believe in this kind of, if you believe that Jesus Christ died on your behalf and saved your life and suffer on your behalf, you say, Jesus is my Lord. And then later on you realize that 3 days later, he was resurrected. And then I not only confess with my mouth Jesus is Lord, I believe with my heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And then Paul say that his resurrection, because you believe in it, then you are justified. If Jesus has no resurrection, no one will be justified. And you believe in it. You believe it with your heart because you hear the message. Wow, God loved me so much. If God give me his life, you think he's not going to give you a job? He will give you a job. You don't think he will give you a good health? He will give you a good health. The most important thing is life. He gave it to you. All other things he will give it to you. All you have to do is make sure your character is in conformity with our Lord Jesus Christ. Do good. Do his will. Respond to his word. Do not be stiff-necked. Do not ask for discipline. The Israelite, second question Paul say, again I ask, did Israel not understand the message of Christ, the message of faith, the word of faith? Of course they understand. But Pastor John, if they understand, how come they don't respond? This is exactly what Paul was saying. Chapter 29, verse 19. The servant will not respond. Because God knows our heart. We won't respond. Unless he disciplines you. Then you respond. Then how did God discipline his people? First, Moses said, I will make you envious by those who are not a nation. I will make you angry by a nation that has no understanding. When I preach the gospel to the Jewish people, he looked at me like that, you know, and then they walk away. He didn't say anything. He just looked. The look, you know, the look, I understand the look, you know. But the other day, I take a look, the look, I like that, you know. Will you do me a favor in Isaiah chapter 3? The look on their face testified against them. Chapter 3, verse 9. They parade their sin like Sodom, and they do not hide it. Woe to them. They have brought disaster upon themselves. Do you know the world is changing? In 1999, I left for New York to study seminary. At that time, the homosexual people asked for the city hall to give them a rainbow parade. And the mayor say no, but now everybody joined them.
The look on their face, they're so happy, testify against them. They don't hide in the closet that I'm homosexual. The look on their face testify against them. They also have the legislation. You crucify them, you are hate crime. You understand? When you see that happen, God will definitely will discipline Sodom and Gomorrah. And he will discipline us. You read the Bible, you don't understand, then you say nothing happened. It's coming. It's coming. When I preach the gospel to the Jewish people, try to save his life, he looked at me like this. Their look testify against them, right? You know how make them jealous? God make a Gentile like Chinese like me and understand the Bible, and yet he did not understand. And other people ask me, how come in the Old Testament God didn't bless the firstborn and yet bless the secondborn? Take a look. Esau and Jacob. I love Jacob, I hate Esau. Take a look. Aaron and Moses. He blessed Moses more than Aaron. Take a look, the firstborn of Adam, right? And the secondborn, Abel. Secondborn is the righteous man. The firstborn is the wicked man. Why? Can anyone tell me why? When Jacob blessed his son Joseph, he gave the firstborn right to Ephraim. Where's the firstborn become secondborn, Manasseh? Why? It's to teach us a lesson. When I give you good news, you don't want it, I take it away, give it to the one you despise, and yet he get more blessing than you. That's how. You know why God make them angry like that? You go back to the text. Chapter Deuteronomy, you go back to the text, Deuteronomy chapter 32, they make God angry. The true God they don't believe, they believe the false God. The true God they don't bow down and worship, they worship the false God. You worship the false God to arouse the jealousy of God, and God bless the Gentile to make you jealous too. Huh. Oh, you're supposed to get the firstborn right, and yet he gave it to someone else. Reuben, supposed to be the firstborn, and yet Joseph received the firstborn right. Reuben, no hard feeling, okay? Take a look, chapter 32. Make sure you don't do things like this to arouse the jealousy of God. Chapter 32, verse 19. The Lord saw this and rejected them. Rejected the people of Israel. Because he was angered by his son and daughter. I will hide my face from them, he said, and see what their end will be. When God hides his face from you, you will be in deep trouble. For they are a perverse generation, children who are unfaithful. They make me jealous by what is no God and anger me with their worthless idol. You anger God? You make God jealous? Oh, God say, I will make the people of Israel envious by those who are not a people. Envious by the Chinese, envious by the American, envious by the Canadian. They are not Jews. I will make them angry by a nation that has no understanding. Don't make God angry. You know, just like a wife. when you get married already, and still in a WeChat or whatever, still corresponding with your boyfriend, you're asking for problems. Cut it off, man. Cut it off. Don't make your husband jealous and envy of that. And the Israelite making God angry and jealous by worshiping false gods. Will not God take them away? Right? You don't believe in the good news? God say, I'm going to bless the Gentiles. They are not a nation. I make them become a nation of God. They have no understanding. I'll help them to understand. In verse 20, and Isaiah boldly said, I was found by those who did not seek me. This is Gentile. I don't seek God. God seek me. I still remember when I lived in the Millwood, there are two girls and one man, two students, two girl students and one male student. They study at U of A. They come to my house, talk about Jesus Christ. They talk about Jesus Christ and then talk about Buddha. But they don't quite know much about the Bible. They just know Jesus is the Christ. And then I don't believe it. 6 months later, my younger brother, the fifth one in the family, died in car accident. And then they wake up call for me. When people preach about Jesus is the Lord, I preach about Buddha is the Lord. Should I be disciplined? Should I? Yeah. And I'm ignorant. You don't believe in the good news? Then God seek the Gentile. God reveal it to the Gentile and let them receive the good news. That's why Isaiah boldly said, I was found. The Lord God Jesus Christ was found by those who did not seek me. By Chinese, by American. I reveal myself to those who did not ask for me. If Jesus Christ can reveal his will to Saul and change his life to become poor, he can also reveal it to me, to the Chinese too, right? Thank God. And then in conclusion, verse 21, but concerning Israel, he said, because they are stiff-necked, they refuse to believe, God said, all day long, I have held out my hand to a disobedient and obstinate people. He said, come, come. The more he say, come, come, and then they keep going. Brother and sister, when your parents preach you the good news, when he tell you something, you don't run away for it. If you run away for it, you make sure you remember, blessed are those who keep the law. Without revelation, where there's no revelation, people cast off restraint. If you don't hear the word of God, you will do your own thing. When you hear the word of God, make sure you keep it. Respond to it and listen to it and do something about that. And you and I know that. A servant will not respond to the word of God unless God disciplines him and corrects him. And that's exactly what Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. The scripture is God's breath, is God's word, for four purposes. For teaching, for correcting, for rebuking, for correcting, and for training in righteousness. Training in righteousness means follow Jesus, carry your own cross, do good, do the right thing. Our Heavenly Father, we heard your word. We can't say we haven't heard about that. We understand your word. We can't say we never understand that. It is near us. It is in our mouth. It is within our heart. All we have to do is respond to it. And help us not to respond because other people respond. Help us to respond because the Holy Spirit moves us. Because the word of God moves us. We want to get blessing from you. Hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.